invite you to remain standing as you're able as we come to our gospel lesson this morning. The gospel lesson comes to us from the gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 39. Let us hear now the word of the Lord. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. You may be seated. And let us pray. God, we pray that you would come over us. God, we pray that you would overcome us. Amen. This story that we have today before us is a gospel story. You're going to hear me say that about half a dozen times, maybe or more, during this sermon. This is a gospel story. And it comes to us, it's not just a gospel story because it's found in the gospel of Luke. It's actually found in the gospel of Mark and the gospel of Matthew as well, and all of the synoptic gospels. So it's a gospel story because it's in the gospels. But this is a gospel story because it is the story of someone who needs Jesus, who encounters Jesus, and whose life will never be the same. That's why this is a gospel story. It's the story of a man, a person who needs Jesus, who meets Jesus, and whose life will never be the same. When Jesus and the disciples get in a boat and they row across the Sea of Galilee, we find that this is the first person that they encounter, this man who is demon-possessed. And immediately, the demons in this man know who Jesus is. You going to help me preach, Naya? All right. It's fine. She's so cute. It's hard to preach. You're distracting me. You're good, Naya. The demons know who Jesus is. And they stated, Jesus, Son of God, what are you going to do to me? I don't want to be tortured. In the Gospel of Mark, the first entity to acknowledge who Jesus is, it's not Peter in his confession, you are the Christ, the Holy One of God. It is a demon who knows who Jesus is when he encounters him. And this demon in this man had made this man's life miserable. This man had been cut off from community. He no longer lived among the rest of the Gerasenes. He no longer lived in a home. It was just as socially unacceptable then as it is now to go about with no clothes on. And he didn't live as anyone would live, but he lived among the tombs. He lived in a graveyard. And even though the community had done their best to contain him, their best efforts were not enough. These demons that resided in him, that possessed him, gave him superhuman strength. They had chained him, hand and foot. They had kept him under guard. But the chains were not enough. They couldn't contain him, and they couldn't control him. And all the while, he suffered. This is a gospel story. As the man encounters Jesus, it's interesting that until the very end, until the demons are cast out of him, that the man doesn't say a word. The interaction, the primary interaction in this story is between Jesus and the demons, who answer as one, even as they name themselves as many, as legion. The interaction then seems to be between Jesus and the demons. And there is nothing that the man can offer to cure himself. If you noticed in the hymns that we sang already, in Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, it speaks of the way in which we come. We come to Jesus naked, and he clothes us. This man has nothing to offer Jesus. No bit of money, no good deeds in order to be cured and to receive the blessing and love of Jesus. And yet Jesus loves him. And Jesus cures him. This is a gospel story. Now the demons don't want to go into the abyss, that place in which they will be confined for all of eternity, that space that God has reserved for all the demons and for Satan. And so they ask Jesus for a more comfortable landing spot, a herd of pigs. And Jesus acquiesces to that. He says, that's fine, and so they go into the pigs, and the pigs immediately are drowned as the demons drive them into the water. And all of the community, all of the town comes out because of what has happened, and the tenders of the pigs declare to them what has taken place. And when they get there, they encounter the man from their community. And he's sitting there, fully clothed and in his right mind.
And when they see that, their response is fear. My assumption is, and my guess is, that they had done everything in the power of that community to cure and to control this man, to deliver him from these demons, and they were unable. And so they recognize in Jesus a power that is beyond the power of these demons, and they don't know what to do with it. So they ask Jesus to leave, for him to leave. And it seems here a bit strange to me, and perhaps a bit strange to you. Surely Jesus would say, no, I'm not going to go. I came for you. Don't you see what I've done? But Jesus, he doesn't try to persuade. He doesn't argue with them. They are afraid, and he turns and goes. Now just think about that for a moment. That Jesus and the disciples have rowed all the way across the lake, all the way across the Sea of Galilee to come to the region of the Gerasenes. Jesus meets one person who is demon-possessed, casts out the demons, and they ask him to leave, so he leaves. What an unsuccessful ministry on the part of Jesus. Surely we want the gospel story to go something like this. Jesus went to the region of the Gerasenes. He preached like he always preached. You notice there's no sermon here. He had them sit down. He told them about God the Father. There was somebody there who didn't have much food, but Jesus made it much food and they all ate. Those are the stories we want. But in this story, Jesus comes. He encounters one man who needed Jesus, whose life will never be the same, and then he leaves. And I will say to you once again, this is a gospel story. It's a gospel story because it is a personal story. It is a gospel story because in the ways in which it lacks sensationalism, it shows significance. The man who has been delivered from the legion of demons asks Jesus to go with him. Jesus, I want to be your disciple. Please let me go with you. He was begging Jesus to follow him. And Jesus' response is this: return home and tell how much God has done for you. Now, over the last few weeks, one of the texts that we've been using as an auxiliary text, as a supporting text, is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when we are called, each and every one of us, to be ambassadors for Christ. And Jesus here is calling this man whose life will never be the same to be an ambassador for Christ. Think about just for a moment the woman that Jesus encounters, the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 3. She becomes, as she needs Jesus and encounters Jesus, and her life will never be the same after that encounter, she goes and she tells everyone about Jesus. This man goes and he tells everyone about Jesus. And I think that most of us, many of us, think that there are those special Christians, there are those special ones among us that get called to go from their homeland and to become missionaries. To go from, I don't know, say Texas to Illinois. Or Congo to Illinois. Or people like we have who are missionaries from here who have gone to West Africa. We read the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples." And we think of those people. But that Great Commission is also for us. Because as much as this is a gospel story, our stories are gospel stories. Each and every one of us, we are people who need to encounter Jesus. We need Jesus, and once we encounter Jesus, our lives will never be the same. And we are called no less than this man, no less than the ones who go from here to Africa, or from Africa to here, or from Asia to Africa, or wherever it might be. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We are called to go and tell how much God has done for us. I think oftentimes when we think about evangelism, when we think about witnessing, we think that we have to have some type of sophisticated theological and philosophical answers in hand. I mean, Pastor, what if somebody asks me about how God could create it of the world when we know that evolution is true? Right? But nowhere in the Gospels do we see that as the response that Jesus has for us. The response of Jesus, the call of Jesus, is simply to go and to tell how much God has done for us. You witness to what you've experienced. You witness to what you've seen. Not to become engaged in intellectual arguments, but to simply be the manifestation of the way in which God comes to us in Jesus Christ. And when we encounter Him, our lives will never be the same. It's interesting that, I'll say this, just about every English translation I know in the Great Commission says, "Go therefore and make disciples of Jesus Christ," right? We know that passage in Matthew 28. The interesting thing is that in Greek, in the original, the main verb is making disciples. So really a better translation would be something like this: make disciples as you are going. Actually, the "go" there is a participle. So it isn't in the going so much as it is, and maybe, the going about our daily lives, that we are called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. This passage reminds me of a parable that Jesus tells. It is a gospel parable. It is a parable of the good news of what God wants to do in us and what God wants to do for the world as He builds His kingdom. It's Matthew 22, starting in verse 1. Luke also tells a version of this in Luke 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention. And they went off, one to his field, another to his business." You see, they went off to their doing of their daily lives. "And the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned down their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited do not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests." This is a reminder that the gospel is not that God wants to take those of us who are bad people and make us good. It is that God comes to us, and like the demon-possessed man who was a Gerasene, that God wants to come and make those of us who are dead live, to call us from the tomb into the house of the Lord. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen." Here, speaking in this parable, alluding to the reality that we put on Christ, right? And his righteousness. That was in our passage, our scripture reading this morning from Galatians, that we put on Christ, that we are now clothed with Christ when we are called. So let me ask you this question. How is your life a gospel story? In what ways, in what areas have you needed Jesus in the past and that you need him now? How do you engage? How do you interact? How are you currently in relationship with Jesus? In such a way that your life has been changed, that your life is continuing to be changed. And how is it, and who is it, as you go about your daily life, that you will tell about how much God has done for you? That you have experienced a God who loves you. That you can articulate not only that which you have been saved from, but that which you are saved to. See, we each and every one of us have a story to tell. Those stories, are gospel stories. We come and we often preach, and sometimes I say we and things like that, and we are a church. Community is important. If anything, after a year, hopefully you've heard me say that. But it's also important for us to know the power of the gospel personally. To know not just that God calls us as a community, but that God calls us individually. That his desire is for people to know him, because we know him. See, Jesus was not invited to stay among the people known as the Gerasenes. And that is one of the reasons why Jesus needed this man to stay, to tell his gospel story. My friends, how will we tell our gospel story? How will you this week, in your life, in the places where you live, the places where you work, the places where you shop, how will your life be the gospel story? Amen.